Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
In issues of racism, there are going to be some who will say, why don't you stick to preaching gospel?
The social, political, and economic concerns have increasingly encroached upon the minds of those who should know better.
The real transformative work in a nation is the transformative work of the gospel.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Knock.
Who's there?
Who's there? Oh, too soon. Doesn't anybody make rehearsal anymore? Like we've ever done that. This is Wretched Radio 2, 3, 4. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Who's there?
I thought for sure you were going to leave me hanging.
Nope. Wouldn't do that to my host.
The new normal. Come on in, new normal. Whether we want you in or not, you're coming, knocking down the door. This is Wretched Radio. Every generation that experiences something cataclysmic has a new society facing them. Things changed. Futurists make a living predicting what will this event cause our culture to look like in the next decade. Or century? That is the question we would do well trying to answer. How will the world look when we are hopefully done with coronavirus season? There is no question about it. There will be very large changes. Consider the Black Plague. The Black Plague, which happened in the Middle Ages, it killed a lot of people. This was the bring out your dead era, where people would literally be shoveling a hole and then drop dead and be shoved into it because they had to be put someplace. They were dropping like flies. It was a terrifying time to live, and people were getting radically, just instantly zapped. Did that change the culture? Of course it did. It actually had a cataclysmic shift in society. Workers were dying, but so too were the employers. It was a fiefdom. There were serfs and there were masters, and they were all dying, and it radically changed the social structure. We went from the people who had and the people who worked. So all of a sudden, the people who worked had much more value, were able to command much higher prices. And so, if you will, they moved up from poor to maybe lower class or even gasp middle class. It changed the relationship between worker and boss. That was one of the changes. If you look through the Industrial Revolution, if you consider the Communications Revolution, it changed the way that we live. And this will be no different. Tim Challies, he gave it a go. He stepped into the, what's the name of the batter's box? Don't forget, there's a reason we're not a sports talk program. He stepped into the batter's box, gave it a go with an article titled, "What Will the New Normal Look Like?" Of course, nobody knows the future but the Lord. But perhaps there are some things we could consider so that the church can respond rightly. We will have the answer to whatever the question is. But if we know the question before it's being asked, we can start offering up solutions to potential problems. We can be the ones in culture that actually can say, hey, we know how now we shall live. Let's get ahead of it, perhaps, shall we? Tim Challies, he spent some time talking about family life. How will this change family dynamics? How will this change sending off your child to university? Now, Tim is up in Canada. He sends two of his kids down to America. What happens if it gets closed down again? Can he get his child back to Canada? Or do you have to have international insurance? There's going to be a lot of those considerations. The ones that I found more interesting, though, are the ones related to the church. How will this change church? I suspect a lot. My prediction will be that when this season is done, church attendance is not going to go up. It will stay the same in good Bible-based churches because it'll have a higher percentage of actually regenerated people who love the local body. But I think in this big thing we call evangelicalism, these, quote, nominal Christians, these Sunday Christian and or Christmas and Easter Christians, they're not going to go to church anymore. They can get it online. They're perfectly happy. They're totally content with getting church online, which is why I would like to suggest to you, maybe, just maybe, we stop calling it church online. I was talking to a buddy of mine, Luke Folsom. He's a pastor at a lovely little Baptist church in Crabapple, Georgia. Tell me that doesn't just sound delightful. Well, it is a charming place. Been there, seen that. It's really a sweet place. And he's pastoring, and he is making sure with the other pastor that is leading Crabapple, they're not doing church on Sunday, period, at all. They are going online. They are preaching a sermon, but they're not doing church. You say, wait a second, preaching a sermon, singing hymns, that's doing church. No, it's not. Church is the physical assembling of the saints where we do more than just worshiping. The church gathering, it's more than just the hour or 90 minutes. If you're Lutheran, 35 minutes. It's more than that. It's doing the one another's. It's church discipline. It's encouraging. It's exhorting. It's being involved in one another's lives. It's doing communion together, which is why I received a rather thoughtful email. I believe his name was Michael, if I'm not mistaken, saying, hey, whoa, Friel, you're saying that you shouldn't do communion online. Let's see, here it is right here. Nope, that's not it. Remember, you're listening to the most organized Christian radio program on this station at this time. Fellow sent in an email and he said, what's the dealio? You're saying that we shouldn't be doing communion because you can't do communion unless you're face to face, but we're doing church. And he's right. We're not doing church when we do it online. That isn't church. And perhaps we would do well. Luke said they're making it a point to tell everybody, this is not church. You're not doing church on Sunday morning because we must be physically together. We are trying to feed you as best we can through this unusual season, but we are not doing church. And I think that's a good word. No matter how you try and no matter how clever you are, unless you're physically meeting together, that's not doing church. And my concern, I think this was a right observation. I believe it was from Michael and from Luke. If we are telling people you're doing church on Sunday morning, when the all clear is given, people aren't going to go back to church. I'm already doing church. I get to sit here in my jammies. I get to drink coffee. I get to get up any time I want to without feeling embarrassed about it. And I can go use the bathroom. I can make myself a bagel. I'm doing church. No, you're not. I wonder how many people will stop coming to church because they're getting fed online. This is what's fascinating to me. I noticed a number of high-profile megachurches, they're celebrating the numbers of people who are doing church online. They're talking about, hey, we've got millions of people now doing church online that weren't doing church before. Of course they wouldn't think like this. They don't have a high ecclesiology, clearly. Otherwise, they wouldn't run a whiz-bang center. But good theologians are saying, hey, let's be communicating to everybody. We are not replacing church. This isn't a new type of electronic church. We're not doing church until this is all clear. That, I think, is a very good word. How many people will stop coming to church in the future? Tim Challies, is it possible? We'll soon be told we can meet in crowds again, but only if sufficient safety measures are put in place. We went to Lowe's, I think it was last Saturday. That place was swarming with people. Everybody's trying to do their gardening. They're going stir crazy, so they're buying their gardening stuff to do something. And so you have to wait to get in line to get into the building because they're only letting so many people in. And as we walked in, there's a guy with a clicker counting how many people are currently in. And then you have to hold out your hands so they spray you with germ killer. Now, look.
These are your people.
I'm telling you, this is the type of society I would have created where it's everywhere you go. You just look at something, you have to have your hands squirted with germ killer. That's different. Will that be the case in church? Oh, germ kill before you come in. How many people will want to gather for corporate worship if that involves hand washing, safe distancing, face masks, and so on? I don't know if you recall this. It was Dr. Brix. They were doing one of their daily press conferences, and the president asked her, when will this, you know, will this press room ever be just filled with people shoulder to shoulder again? And you know what she said? Well, we've learned a lot about infectious diseases. And depending on how this turns out, it will determine how it is that we gather in the future. Whoa, what? Are you kidding me? So there might be a day when we don't get to, we all have to be 6 feet apart. Is that going to change church? Yeah. How's about this? How's about some of the, maybe the infighting there is over people and their attitude about coronavirus? Different statisticians saying this and that. It can get pretty tense for people. So now you go to church. Will there be arguments from people who are wearing masks and those who are not wearing masks? I can't believe those people aren't wearing masks. I can't believe those people are wearing masks. I can't believe those people, they won't sit next to it. They won't shake hands anymore. Oh, they shake hands. I can't believe they shake hands. Is this setting us up for some new issues that we're going to have to deal with? Oh, yeah. And a whole lot more. We'll continue to take a look at what the new normal will look like next on Wretched Radio. Not to say I told you so, but I've been sharing with you how Tomorrow Clubs think kids camps in Eastern Europe meeting weekly to hear the gospel. Kids get saved, parents get saved, and churches get revitalized. Here is just one example so I can say, I told you so.
There is actually was a dying church, only two families. So this lady, she's a school teacher. Someone told her about this village, so she came, and believe it or not, she has about 40 kids coming to the Tomorrow Club from the villages around. So the whole church is filled with kids.
Love hearing that. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe? Kids are getting saved, families getting saved, and churches revitalized. $30 a month, 30 disciples. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God, is Wretched's latest evangelistic resource, perfect for sharing with those who don't understand who Jesus is.
People love to question the divinity of Jesus Christ. Phil Johnson, what would be one proof that Jesus Christ is God?
The calendar is based on it.
That's a pretty big proof, but we have compiled 21 more proofs. Jesus is God in a booklet titled The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. You know somebody who needs to know Jesus. Get your copies. Terrific evangelistic booklet. Wretched.org/22.
The Man Who Split Time is a must read for every skeptic. So we challenge you, get it, read it, then give it away. The Man Who Split Time, 22 Proofs Jesus is God. Get your copy at wretched.org/time. Wretched.org/time.
Do ultrasounds really save the lives of babies? Yeah.
My pregnancy was unplanned. Abortion was in the back of my mind. But seeing my baby girl moving and hearing the heartbeat, it was so overwhelming. We can't wait to welcome our baby girl into this world.
One ultrasound, one saved baby. Would you please consider supporting the Ministry of Preborn? Just $28 will provide a free ultrasound to a woman who is considering abortion. They are saving lives. Lives every day. 80% of the time a woman sees an ultrasound, she decides to choose life. How many ultrasounds could you provide for just $28? Kindly visit preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched. Provide ultrasounds and save the lives of babies.
If you're like most people, you have a passion to see souls saved, but don't know where to start. Might I suggest Hearts for the Lost? They assist local pastors and church congregations by helping them equip the saints with biblical principles for personal evangelism. They fly out to your church, put on an evangelism seminar, and then go out into the streets with you to put it into practice. And it's all free. To learn more or to schedule a conference, go to heartsforthelost.com. Heartsforthelost.com.
Books of the Bible. John was a disciple and close friend of Jesus. John's Gospel presents Jesus as the Word become flesh, God in human form. He also emphasizes belief in Christ as the only way, truth, and life. God writes so that we may believe that Jesus is the Christ, and by believing, we may have life in His name. Believe in Jesus today and have life everlasting. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's see if I'm a prophet. All right, I'm not, because the Bible says that office is closed. This is Wretched Radio. Let's see if I'm a futurist, can take a look at what's going on in culture to try to answer the question, what's the new normal going to look like? We are experiencing a cataclysmic event. I don't care what your attitude is about it. This is a game changer. What are the implications for your family? What about for your church? What about for your relationship with other Christians? What about Christian events? What about the way we interact with one another? What about sporting events, concerts? The implications, huge. Let's see if I'm good at this. Gentlemen, please watch what I'm doing very carefully. Feel free to judge me if you see fit. All right?
Yeah, you're wiping your nose and your forehead.
Okay, yeah.
Openly judging.
Yeah, how did that look? How did I do? Was that a gracious way to scratch my forehead?
You looked like a clumsy cat.
Because I'm trying to scratch my face without using my fingers. Because we all know now that they're infectious. And you can't germ kill them enough. And we all touch our face supposedly 300 times a day. I don't know whose job that was to figure out. Get your hands off your face. Now, Joey, you need to join me in scolding Tony. He just put both of his hands right on his face to show exclamation.
Like, I would, but the problem is I am trying to not touch my face because 200 of those 300 times a day is after someone says don't touch your face.
Because the law makes you want to do the very thing you shouldn't do. So I tried to scratch my forehead with the back of my wrist because apparently that's less germy, although I don't use germ killer there. And it looks totally dorky. And yet, when will it be that doesn't look so weird? Tony?
I have an idea.
Yeah, uh-oh.
We get a wristband and one of the little scalp scratcher things.
Yes.
Attach it to the wristband and then you can...
Yes. Okay.
We'll be wealthy.
But that will look weird for a while and then won't look weird. No, nobody's scratch... Look, you couldn't see me most likely, unless you're watching this through the video machine. But, we're scratching our face. And then you just make all these weird. You look kind of like an orangutan trying to scratch your face. And it looks weird now, but not really so much as it did 2 weeks ago. And in a month, that's the new normal. What other things will become the new normal? I don't think you have to be a futurist to figure it out. Just take a look and see what is going on and ask some questions. Tim Challies did that very thing. What will the new normal look like? Making his way through different categories. The church. Once churches are free to gather, how long will it be before we're comfortable? Are we really a church if the elderly folk still need to stay away? And will they be forgotten once the rest of us can return to normalcy? Do we continue to stream services in that period? Once the doors open, how much should church leaders pressure people to return to services? Well, there's another potential battle. Okay, everybody, all clear. I don't feel comfortable going out into a group, but we say that it is, so you need to start coming to church. I'm not ready to bring my family to church yet. Can you see how some of these issues are going to be dealt with? Shaking hands, seriously, that's what we do. Or hug. There's going to be people who can't wait to return to hugging, shaking hands. They love that. There's going to be a whole bunch of people going, slow your roll there, huggy. Let's just bump elbows. Will that change the way we greet each other, either in church or in culture? And how is that dance going to go? And how many attitudes will accompany it? It's happening now. You've got an attitude about masks. don't you? You see people, you go out now and you see people in a mask, or you wear a mask and you see somebody who's not wearing a mask. What's your take on that person? This could be a bigger divide than homeschool versus public school. That's right. Trouble with a capital T that rhymes with M and that stands for masks. You see, that's why I'm not a lyricist right there.
I can see that now.
But the point is, wow, how will we deal with these things in the church? Are we going to have mask people versus non-mask people, handshaker versus non-handshaker people? Wait a second. How's about communion people? How are we going to do that? There are going to be some people who say, let's just get back to passing that plate around. Ho, 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 ho. Did they wear gloves when they prepared that communion? Who poured this stuff? I'm not going to drink. The common cup could go flying right out the window. Yes, it could.
Some places.
Of course it will. And then in those, okay, so you just shook your head because you don't think a common cup should be abandoned. Correct, Tony?
Correct.
So your church decides, no, we're going to go to individual cups, and you pour your own, and you take your own cup, and you do it with gloves.
Wouldn't happen.
How do you feel about that?
It wouldn't happen.
What if it does?
The church I'm in right now, that wouldn't happen.
What if it does?
Isn't the church you're at under the minimum number of people for a gathering?
We are. We can meet on Sundays without having to cut down.
Well, there's the benefits of that. By the way, I don't know if you saw this. Rodney Howard Brown got arrested for doing church down in Florida. Like, you know, there are some people who are responding that and going, hey, are we headed down a slippery slope with that? And the answer to that question is nobody knows. By the way, the mayor of New York, de Blasio, he threatened to, quote, permanently close New York City churches if they don't comply with social distancing, stating this. It's the last thing I would like to do because I understand how important people's faiths are to them. And we need our faiths in this time of crisis. We need new toner. Okay. It's a little sketchy here. But gotcha. But we do not need gatherings that will endanger people, stating if that does not happen, if people don't shut down their churches, they will take additional action up to the point of fines and potentially closing the building permanently. Now, there are some Christians who are hearing that and they're going, yikes, is this a sign of the times? Is this a future new normal? And the answer to that question is, I don't know. It appears that they are doing it from a Christian worldview, even though they're not. They're actually caring for people, which is not the evolutionary godless worldview. Nevertheless, it appears that we're being treated the same as sporting events, as concerts, any public gathering. So I don't think that needs to be a concern at the moment. Could that change? Sure. Might there be somebody who's thinking, hey, this might be a chance to close down church? I guess. In the meantime, it seems to me that the law is trying to be equitable in this to protect people, whether you agree with it or not. And I don't think we need to be in a panic that this is going to become an ongoing thing. Could that change tomorrow? Yeah, it could. But with the evidence that we have today, I think I'm not going to worry about tomorrow too much because tomorrow's got enough worries of its own and it's going to take care of itself. And if you think that I'm being naive, that would be Matthew 6, Jesus' words. Of course, we're wise, we prepare, we consider. We're doing that right now, taking a look at what the future might hold. But I'm not going to fret and worry and panic about it. It seems that they are doing their best as a government to apply wisdom as they see fit. And whether you, I, anybody else agrees with it or not, I think the statistic that I saw on this is evangelicals are the number one demographic being skeptical about the statistics that are being given to us. I think it's about 70% of evangelicals going, not so sure about this. But until I know that there's nefarious dealings behind the scenes, I'm just going to trust that they're doing their best to take care of us as they see fit. Time will reveal. And a pastor that openly defies the government going to get arrested. Could that lead to more? Time will tell. How else will it change the future? How's about Christian conferences? How long will it be before we're ready to gather in big crowds to hear preaching together? Not to mention singing together. you could get spit on the back of your head. If we learn that crowds have been the source of local outbreaks, which could happen, will organizations be assuming significant moral or legal liability if their event turns out to be ground zero of a new outbreak? How's about the conferences that have to plan for next year? They book speakers. Maybe they buy airplane tickets. They review. They rent space, hire staff, sell tickets, and it gets canceled the week before. All that money go. Maybe conferences will take a hit, and they will simply be no more. What will this do to the church? What will this do to the family? Just saw a statistic, alcohol consumption up 50%. I suspect you're going to see an abortion spike. I suspect you're going to see a divorce rate go through the roof. I think that you are seeing already increased anxiety, depression, and I wouldn't be shocked if you see more suicides coming from different demographics than just the millennials. What about working from home, shopping, playing sports, going to a concert? Christian, things are going to change. None of us is a prophet to know exactly what's going to happen, but they are going to change. Let's think this through. And as we negotiate some new choppy waters, let's make sure that we do it one another with love. This is Wretched Radio.
It is ingenious when you think about it. The Mission Ball is a simple soccer ball covered with biblical text, an effective tool for drawing a crowd, making a connection with people, inviting curiosity, and ultimately creating opportunities to proclaim the gospel. Because the Mission Ball is covered with a thorough law and gospel presentation written in ink that doesn't come off very easily. Find out how you can support the Mission Ball. Go to themissionball.org. Themissionball.org.
Attributes of God. God is merciful. While he does not permit evil to go unpunished, he withholds his justice for a time. Though God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment, every day we continue to live is evidence of God's mercy and another chance to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hold on. It is my duty to make sure that you are protected. This is Wretched Radio. Both Joey and Tony speculating about the future. I need to make sure they're qualified. I do not want you to be exposed to unaccredited futurists. Gentlemen, did you get your online accreditation for being a futurist?
I saw a futurist in junior high.
Ah,
he came to my school and told us about how the world is ending.
Then you may speak. Tony, do you have any credentials that qualify you for predicting what's going to happen in the future?
Like science fiction?
That'll do.
Pretty much.
That's pretty much what it takes to become a pastor these days, so why not
being a futurist?
None of us knows the future, what's going to happen tomorrow. Only the Lord knows that, but there's clearly some things that we can be aware of and mindful of. Gentlemen, you were actually just talking about some. Now that you're accredited and you're a qualified futurist, Joey, what was the concern or the thought that you expressed?
Well, I was thinking about how much online music has changed music, or streaming music, or downloading, right, or whatever, yeah, changed music in the 90s, 2000s, and just record labels have pretty much, they haven't collapsed, but they are significantly less
they
important.
They don't sell them. They have to make it on concerts, all of that. Yeah, it's changed everything.
And how's that going to impact pastors if they don't have people coming to see them, and celebrity pastors if they don't have conferences?
It could change the evangelical celebrity culture.
Instead, it's the guy with the best following on YouTube or whatever social media.
Look, that absolutely could be a game changer. If people no longer do the big conferences or even come to churches, these hucksters and charlatans who make a very fine living from crowds and people attending, they're going to have to go find it someplace else. That could mean that some of the people who are popular today won't be tomorrow, and new ones will rise up to take advantage of whatever way the culture wants to consume whatever it is that they desire, which actually was something that Tim threw it on the ground already. I was I was not aware that you two were qualified to be futurists. Tim Challey was saying, let's just be mindful that people are looking more and more online for stuff. In fact, the search word for prayer is absolutely skyrocketing. People are asking the Google machine, teach me about prayer. There were some statistics. I got them here someplace. Here we go. Google searches for prayer skyrocket amid coronavirus outbreak. Here's the numbers. Searches for prayer in 75 countries. Wow. Search intensity for prayer doubles for every 80,000 new registered cases of COVID. Okay, that aside, the point is the numbers are going up. We're living right now in a season where there is a great deal of fear, ungodly fear. We Christians, we're aware of the future. We plan. We're not stupid. If they tell us to put on a mask, you put on a mask. We try to be as wise as we possibly can be. And yet, we do not shake and tremble. We know we're going to die and it'll be the best day of our lives. We don't rush the day. We don't look forward, yippee, skippy. I'm going to go get coronavirus so I can die. That's just foolishness. But when that day comes, we can go because the Lord has already passed through death. He knows the way and he'll take you by the hand and he's going to take you to be with him forever. We don't have the fear of death. Perfect love casts out that fear of being judged. The world, I've thought this all along. The reason that you are seeing a terrified world is because they're terrified to die. Their idols are being assaulted. Their idols of culture, their idols of health and of enjoyment. They are all under attack right now, and they are scared. We're not scared the same way. Are we? And so as fear increases, people are running to the Googler machine. During March, internet searches for prayer surged to the highest level during the past 5 years, for which comparative Google search data is available, surpassing all other major events that otherwise instigate intensified demand for prayer, like Christmas and Easter. Even in, get ready for this, Denmark, one of the least religious countries in the world, they're seeing systematic increases in internet searches on prayer. Well, well, well. The world is perhaps responding to God's message, despite what some high-profile theologians who are not right would tell us. The Bible tells us what God is up to, and some people are responding. They are trying to figure things out. We need to be there for them. We need to be wise on the internet machine. We need to be doing the things. Look, if the world is looking for information about God, are we just, we would just be foolish to not be there and take advantage of it. So I say, let's be there on social media. Let's find out where they're going and get there before they arrive, because the Mormons will be there. Guarantee you that. They're excellent at this. There are cults that know exactly where people are headed, and they do a bang-up job of being there to answer people's questions. Ask Mormon, they have done. You got to give them props. You go search for stuff about God, Mormons pop up almost at the top five searches all the time. Let's be there for these people. Let's greet them. How will this change the celebrity culture? It might change it a lot. By the way, I found that email from Michael. In case you thought we were disorganized here, this leads to a question. Online services in general. Why would it be okay to stream worship services but not take communion online? And he's absolutely right. And so we shouldn't be doing either one of them online. Be feeding your people on Sunday, but don't let them think that that's church, because you don't want them to replace online involvement with the actual physical involvement. Received another smart email, Mr. Brown. He said, if I don't dress up for live stream services I'm watching at home, but I do dress up when I go to the church building, does that indicate I'm dressing up to be seen by people? That's a fair question. He goes on, I've heard Todd, that's me, strongly encourage people to dress up for church because we're going to worship God. I was wondering if Todd puts on a suit and tie to worship in his living room via live stream. And the answer is no. And I'm not being double-minded. Why? Because I'm not doing church in my living room. That's the whole point. Mr. Brown, ha! You thought you were going to catch me in a trap. It's not church. I'm watching a video. That's what I'm watching. I'm hearing it perhaps delivered live, but I'm not meeting with the saint. It's not church is the point. We need to let people know that that's what's happening Sunday morning. Not church. Did you have anything future-y to predict? You were saying something, Tony, about people moving to Montana or something?
For a long time, you've said that people should have reason. When they move, your work shouldn't be the first reason you move. Your church should be the first reason you move. You're moving somewhere because of a good church.
Yeah.
That may happen more and more now.
I hope so.
The winnowing begins.
Yeah. And
I think.
And look, there will be a lot of church fighting that happens because of this. This is just, it just got thrust on us. So now we've got to work through it. And that is why my encouragement on so many of these issues, look, a lot of people are going to have different opinions on these things. The statistical data, everybody's gleaning it. We've all become an analyst of some sort on statistics, and we've got an opinion on things. When is the curve flattened? Well, this person says this, that person says that. You're just going to, depending on your news source, you're going to have a different take on these things. I get that. We want to obey the government. We want to do what is best. We want to be loving our neighbor, and we want to be getting along when we have a difference of opinion on these things, right? And so as we start returning, it's probably not going to be, all right, everybody, back to normal. There will not be a typical normal. It's going to be a new game in a lot of different regards. And you're going to see different Christians inside of good churches. Seriously, Tony, there could be people inside of your church of, what is it, 8 people that are going to go, look, I don't want to get the next infectious disease. They say it's coming back in the fall. I don't want to get it. So this whole common cup thing, that's just foolishness. They don't think that it's clearly dictated in the Bible. It's not certainly an essential issue. You're going to have to figure those things out together. You will be figuring. I don't care what your how good your church is, how sound your church is, how close it is. You're going to have stuff to deal with. We have got to work through this thing. Let us not have splits and arguments in the body over this. There are way more crucial biblical issues that we should be wrangling over. Let's be wise, but let's not be fighting and separating. Speaking of different information, this is interesting. USA Today, tech news. Video game addiction is officially considered a mental disorder, the World Health Organization says. That was on August 9th, 2019. March 29th, 2020, headline, USA Today. The World Health Organization says, play video games as healthy social pastime during coronavirus pandemic. Which is it? Let's not have a church split over video games. Let's not be fighting over some of these things. Isn't that funny? What once the world says what once was bad for you, it's now good in this circumstance. That would be a rudderless world. That would be a world that is completely utilitarian, consequentialist. As long as it's good for you in the end, that changes the way we do things. That's the opposite of Christianity. This is Wretched Radio.
Thanks for joining us today. We do appreciate when you choose to spend part of your day with us here at Wretched Radio. What with all of us spending more time at home, might want to check out Wretched TV. Wretched TV is our 30-minute TV program hosted by Todd with live witnessing encounters and discussions of tough theological issues, not to mention other various topics that wander in and out of the Christian community. You might find us on the old telly if you check your local listings, or for watching Wretched TV any old time of the day or night, go to the home of all things wretched, wretched.org/TV. Full-length Wretched TV programs ready and waiting anytime. wretched.org/TV. Thanks very much to our gospel partners, the folks that make Wretched Radio and Wretched TV and wretched.org possible. If you are able, and please only if you are able, would you consider becoming a gospel partner? Go to wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
First, the good news from the Philippines.
Every day in the whole Philippines, there are thousands of new believers being baptized. There are many churches that are being planted right now. The church is strong here and ready to carry on the Great Commission.
That's excellent news, but there is some bad news.
A Bible study leader is not able to provide Bibles for them because he himself do not have any support for the ministry. He's having a hard time even to find his transportation going to the Bible study.
That's not good at all, but it gets worse, I'm afraid.
Filipinos cannot afford to buy a Bible because poverty, and they are very much engrossed trying to make a living for their family. So no more funds to buy a Bible.
You and I can change that for just $5 per Bible with Bible League International. We can bless our brothers and sisters in the Philippines. How many Bibles could you send? Wretched.org/Bible. Wretched.org/Bible.
Picture, if you will, a Saturday night. You're sitting at your computer, and you decide to watch an edifying video, maybe John MacArthur. And the next thing you know, it's 3 o'clock in the morning, and you are knee-deep in YouTube watching a baby giraffe trying to stand up again. Oh, been there, done that. It's happened to all of us. Instead of watching random videos and losing all sense of time, visit the home of all things wretched, wretched.org. There are hundreds of hours of biblically based TV and radio programs and a library full of hand-picked content specifically for you. Over 2,400 30-minute TV programs with subjects ranging from abortion and apologetics to systematic theology and hermeneutics. Wretched's hour-long radio program, posted every day, tackles tough issues Christians face today. So the next time you're wandering around the web watching giraffe and cat videos, why not head over to wretched.org, the home of all things wretched. Wretched.org.
Important dates in Christian history. 1620. Pilgrims coming to America sign the Mayflower Compact and commit themselves to seek the public good, uphold group solidarity, and forsake self-seeking. The Pilgrims' influence helped to create the religious freedoms enjoyed today in the United States. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Yeah, little late in my estimation, but better late than never. This is Wretched Radio. Ronnie Howard Brown, the so-called Holy Ghost bartender. Arrested. Put in the clink. Got out on bond, or whatever that is where you pay money to get out of the hoosegow. He was arrested because he insisted on doing church, kind of flaunting it to the authorities, calling anybody pansies who shut down church. Got arrested for not shutting down church. Well, better late than never. Fellow should have been arrested years ago for theological crimes. Wowza. Now, again, some people are saying, is this a sign of things to come? At this moment, at this time, because this is so fluid, it doesn't appear to be the case. I know what Bill de Blasio said. Hey, if you don't comply, we might shut you down permanently. Okay, it's a politician who said something that we would go, what? You think you can shut down the church permanently? We can agree on this. We want to submit to the government. Should we pass through this storm and the government and some bad actors in our government start saying, you know, we're going to just have that. We've got the power now to shut down churches because we want to for another issue or for this or for that. And it's not an issue of public health and safety. It's not an issue of loving your neighbor. It's not an issue of submitting what I think is currently at least reasonable that the government is requesting. That would become different. Where we would say, sorry, we got to get together. You cannot help, you command us to forsake the assembling of the saints. When this lifts, that would be a different scenario. And could there be some people who use this to establish laws to be able to do that then? Sure, that could happen. We just can deal with today. Right now, that doesn't appear to be the case. There's other things that I think that we can be consuming ourselves with and speculations about where this might be going and what this might have to do with First Amendment rights. It might affect it in the future, but today is all we can deal with. And so today, let's just respond the way that we can. I was reading an article from a pastor who was giving, oh, I wish I could give him credit for it, was talking about what do we do with the angst that exists with so many. Look, there's scenarios that we could consider. What's going to happen? Where's this going? What are people doing? Are people being nefarious with this? What's the government's attitude? Is this becoming the new normal where they control and dictate all of those things? And his recommendation, which I think was perhaps some really good wisdom, don't be oblivious. Don't unplug. Don't be unaware of what's going on. That's foolishness. But how's about once a day? Just get the summary of what's going on, what you need to know once a day, and then cut yourself off from it. Because right now, if you turn on any news broadcast right now, it is intense talk about coronavirus. And it is this is bread and butter for news media. It's amazing. I don't know if you realize this, but it has really been, it's truly been glorious. When we check in with the local Fox News, there's no more murders going on in Atlanta. It's incredible how they stopped. No, they didn't. People are still murdering one another. They're just not being reported. Why? Because of the intensity on the coronavirus. Because they know that if they deliver it a certain way with a certain tone, people tune in. Now, I am not saying anything. This is not a commentary on whether everybody, the futurist, Fauci, the government, right, wrong. We've already covered that ground. We're submitting and obeying, trusting that they know what they're talking about without giving them, ascribing to them nefarious motives. We're being wise. We're trying to be loving. But the news media uses this to get eyeballs, and they will use it the same way that they use murder and mayhem, robbery, rape, theft, what cybercrime, whatever story can get you to tune in because look out, man, this is all crumbling around us. They're going to do it. This is not a commentary on whether or not it is. Learn enough to know, to be in the wise with this, to protect your family, to be a good citizen, to make sure that we're not sinning in any way. But to just be sludging this stuff down, yikes, be careful. It could cause you to be sinning, is what it could cause you to be doing. Because you're going to be doing fretful worrying. Christians are aware of stuff. We plan for stuff. We don't let go and let God. But we don't feel like the whole world is falling up. You know, when the world falls apart, it's because God has determined, I want the world to fall apart. And it won't happen a day before he determines it. And he has not forgotten about you. He is mindful of you. And he is aware of you. And what he does for you will be the best thing. And we, therefore, can go through this being wise without being in an utter panic. Have you been panicking? Have you been scared? Look, we're all aware of it. Maybe you're at the stage in life. You're winding down your 40-hour work week. You are looking at, hey, I get to transition now out of that. I'm going to spend my 40 hours or 50 hours or 30 hours, whatever you determine, serving my local church. All of a sudden, whoop, those financial plans just got ripped right out from underneath you. Am I saying, just put your head in the sand, pretend it didn't happen? No, these are issues to consider. We're aware of these things. But we are not freaking out, are we? We are commanded to not do that. That's what makes us different than the pagans. And trust me, they are watching. They are looking at us. Your neighbors are asked, how do you talk about this subject? Do you use it as an opportunity to say, yeah, things there, I'll tell you, they are definitely things that we need to be aware of. But, you know, I'm really not in a panic about this. And let me tell you why. Are you scared of dying? How come you're scared of dying? May I ask? Direct it towards something and model for them. We Christians, we respond to things differently. Headline, Americans think God is sending serious message with coronavirus. Oh yeah, that's true. He is. And it's up to everybody to understand that message to them. Survey commissioned by the Joshua Fund found 44% believe a crisis is a wake-up call for us to turn back to faith in God. Signs of coming judgment. Is it? Yeah, of course it is. Now, does that mean this is an end times event? Like, next Wednesday, look out, batten down the hatches. Jesus is returning. No. But you could definitely say that coronavirus fits underneath what the Bible would call plagues. Now, I believe that those signs are not to determine the date, but a reminder that there is a date that has been set that Jesus is coming. So rather than looking at coronavirus and saying, ooh, Jesus must be coming back soon, they would have said that with the Black Plague in the Middle Ages. They could have said that with the Spanish flu. They could have said that for any cataclysmic event. Those are not to determine the time, but a reminder there is a time coming when he's coming back. So in a sense, we see coronavirus and we go, oh, that's right, Jesus is coming back and there's going to be a day without plagues. Oh, how sweet that is going to be. Come, Lord Jesus. That is how we view these things. This particular poll found nearly a third see the current crisis as part of the last days predicted in the Bible. Define last days. It's a reminder he's coming back, but not that we are in the last month of the world operating the way it does before Jesus returns. 22% of self-identified non-Christian respondents and 40% of Christians said the crisis has resulted in more interest in God and spiritual matters. 22% of unbelievers are going, huh, maybe I need to give this a second thought here. Are you finding those people? Are you talking to those people? Are you asking people who are unbelievers in your life, how you doing? How's this feeling right now? Can I help you with this? By the way, I don't want to tell Franklin Graham how he should be responding to this crisis, but I'm going to. Don't know if you've been following this. Samaritan's Ministries, this is the shoebox, the Operation Christmas Child. It's Franklin Graham. They've sent a hospital, basically, to Italy to help them in the region where they're hurting. And they're setting up a hospital. It's already set up in New York City. And guess what? Just as you would anticipate, there are people who are squawking about it. Pink website complaining about it. The LGBTQ folks. I believe that there's a gay politician who thinks that it's horrible that Franklin Graham is there. And I would just like to say that I think Franklin Graham has blown it. And here's why. Well, I do believe that Franklin Graham should have set up camp, a hospital, in Central Park. He just blew it. Man, what an opportunity. It should have been, instead of Samaritan Ministries brings you this hospital, it should have been Chick-fil-A presents Franklin Graham Samaritan Ministries. That would have been the icing on the cake, right? What would the New Yorkers have done? Wow, their heads would have exploded. We want their help. They're being so kind. What an amazing thing for them to do. But they're Christians, and it's, ooh, Franklin Graham, and it's sponsored by Chick-fil-A. Other than that, I think what they're doing is outstanding. And I think if the day comes, if he has to set up one of those hospitals in England, remember, 8 facilities told him, you're not allowed to rent our facility for a crusade. What sort of a witness will that be? Amazing. So let us ask ourselves the question, what sort of a witness am I being? Oh, what an opportunity we have. Until tomorrow, go serve your king.